Please pray with me. God, I pray that the words of this sermon are words that honor and glorify your name. I pray that this sermon will give light to your holy word and expand the hearts and minds of all, including myself. Amen. In the first lesson, God tells Jeremiah, "Today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." And I'm just imagining that the prophet Jeremiah, if the phrase had been coined then, might have said back to God, "Oh, what you talking about, God?" For God didn't just tell Jeremiah, "Nation," as in one, but rather God said, "Nations," plural, and "kingdoms," plural. The task that Jeremiah is divinely given has been one that God has had in store for Jeremiah. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you." Seriously. Jeremiah's human response could very well have been, "What? What you talking about, God?" Yet Jeremiah answered God's call as a courageous and persistent prophet. He suffered inner doubt and conflicts that are revealed in passages called his confessions. And in these confessions, Jeremiah reveals a strong conflict between his natural inclinations and his deep sense of vocation. The prophet Jeremiah was concerned especially with false and insincere worship and failure to trust Yahweh in national affairs. Jeremiah denounced social injustices and found the source of sin to be in the weakness and corruption of the hearts of men, in what he often called the stubbornness of the evil heart. The prophet Jeremiah's call, it wasn't easy. It wasn't a bed of roses. God asking Jeremiah to be a prophet to all nations, all kingdoms, could only have been a terrifying idea. And Jeremiah, desperate to wiggle out of this call, that he tried the strategy first attempted by Moses, where Moses says back to God, Oh, I am slow of speech and tongue," which really probably meant, "Oh, I don't think I can do this." So Jeremiah says, but I am only a boy," which really means, "I probably can't do this." Honestly, making excuses is really not new. And we've all certainly had a few ourselves in our time. I know I, for one, have. For example, maybe when someone has been asked to be on a committee or maybe head up a Bible study or a book study, their initial response could have been, "Oh, I can't do that. I'm just a lay person. I don't have a seminary degree. I can't do that." Or maybe someone has had an opportunity to work with kids, and they might say, "Oh, I don't have anything to give. I'm not very good with kids." Yet in all actuality, the reasons for not doing something that relates to God's work are often reasonable and justifiable. Most of us are not trained for tasks, and if we are trained, sometimes we can feel ill-prepared. Yet, God's call isn't about skills or experience. God didn't say to Jeremiah, "Oh, Jeremiah, don't you worry. Before I send you out to these nations and kingdoms, I'm going to send you to Purdue to learn how to be a prophet." No. Instead, God says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Which, if you're paying attention to your Bible readings, it just so happens that "do not be afraid" is quite a common angelic message. So that leads me to this series of questions. What does it mean to be called by God? What does God call people to do? Are only ministers and priests and prophets experience vocational calls? Do only them experience that? Now, before I want to go to those questions and answer those, I think it's also important to look at the second lesson today from Corinthians. And if I ask for a show of hands, I imagine quite a few of you in here would answer that you've heard this at, or even had it read at, your own wedding. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love never fails. The Apostle Paul doesn't actually have a wedding in mind when he writes this letter to the church of Corinth. In fact, Paul has the opposite in mind, as the divided church of Corinth is actually in major turmoil. And Paul is reminding them that the proper human response to working with and alongside your fellow humans is only through love. And not just any type of love, but agape love. Agape is one of the Greek words for love. Agape love is unconditional love given to you freely without any expectation or reward. It is the love that Jesus shows every human by going to the cross. It is true love, sacrificial love. So back to my questions. What does it mean to be called by God? And whom does God issue this call? Does this apply to you and me? To all Christians or just ministers and prophets? I have a hunch that if you're sitting in these pews, or if you're watching this via Zoom, or even if you come to see this recording later, I bet you already know the answer. To whom does God issue a call? To me and to all of you. A Christian calling is not just reserved for those asked to do mighty things, like Moses or Jeremiah. It is the invitation to every Christian to witness to the gospel by investing with radical grace whatever life roles God opens up to us. John Calvin assured, "No task will be so sorted and based provided you obey your calling in it." And Martin Luther famously said about parenthood, when understood as a Christian vocation, "Even changing dirty diapers is done for the glory of God." I personally like how theologian James Calvin Davis puts it. God calls every Christian to live the radical gospel of Christ through faithful obedience in the world. And for some, that faithful obedience requires grand utterance, heroic measures, or world-changing actions. For others, the average everyday person, that call is in fulfilling the tasks of our social, political, and family roles, while all the while testifying to God's intentions for the world in the way in which we live our lives. Every single one of us is called by God. Our life is our vocation, our calling. The things we do, the things we say, the places we go, the people we interact with, we are called by God to love all and to love all unconditionally. Just like Jeremiah, living our vocational life out of pure, unconditional love for our fellow human is certainly not easy. It's not a bed of roses. Jeremiah is the everyman's prophet. He shows us that fear and anxiety and resistance and inadequacy and even resentment are normal reactions to God's call to us in the world. And having those feelings do not in any way disqualify us from serving God. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Those feelings make our service genuine and our lives real. As you go about your week, the things you do, the things you say, the places you go, and the people you are surrounded with, may you see in all those interactions the fulfillment of your testimony of God's intentions for the world, living out your own personal call from God. Amen.